Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, it is the final episode of 2021, which means we are recapping all the craziness in the world of golf from this year and taking a look ahead to next year. And we're joined in a fun little roundtable with our friend of the show, Jeremy Schilling from the Teeing It Up podcast. A lot of things to cover. There was a lot going on, from matches to rivalries to medals to majors and a whole lot more. We get to it all, and it's all coming up immediately following this quick message brought to you by your friends at Club Dr. Golf and my friends, because they are the way my clubs stay clean these days. They have a great cleaning solution, a spray and a polish, two great products to keep your clubs squeaky clean. Clean clubs improve club performance, ball spin, ball speed, control, and just give you a little bit of a better attitude towards each shot. So why not bring your club back to life and restore their original shine with Club Dr. It's even Amazon's choice for golf club polish. So if you're clean, you're a neat freak, you like to be clean, you like to keep clean clubs, you like that feeling of clean clubs, go to clubdoctorgolf.com, use promo code COL for 15% off. Again, promo code COL for 15% off any purchase at clubdoctorgolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Club Dr. Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and joining us for this entire episode today is Jeremy Schilling from the Teeing It Up podcast and PGA Magazine. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be back. Thank you, Mike, for having me. It's my first time with you, Alex. We go back a long way. Do not reveal any secrets during this, okay?
Will not. This will all be headlines and fun. Looking forward to recapping the year with you. I know you stay on top of golf headlines regularly on social media as well, too. So it's good to have you for this episode, recapping all the craziness of 2021. And we'll look forward to next year as well,
too. Yes, if you would like to talk about Seamus Power at the Barbasol, I'm right here for you.
Oh, nice. Good. I love myself some 200-1 underdogs on the PGA Tour. We got the right guest on this week, Mike.
We always do. I know we're going to get all the tidbits we need to get out of Jeremy this week. So let's get right into rounding up the entirety of 2021. I like how at least the year is bookended by Tiger in some respects with everything that happened with him. We'll talk more about him later, though. Let's put him on hold. And let's just talk about some of our favorite memories and golf stories of 2021. I'll get the ball rolling.
Yes, you go ahead and hit lead off, Mike. Yeah.
I am going to start with my favorite hashtag manufactured story of the year, Bryson and Brooks, which we all remember how this all happened and how it all went down, and is just one of my favorite. Just Brooks seemed to try to grit his teeth and bear it through most of it and put up with it. And Bryson just went, I'm just going to lean into it and be the dick that I am and bulk up some more and hit long drives. And let's face it, at the end of the day, Brooks came through and won in the match. So that's all that matters. Brooks is better than Bryson.
Pretty much, yeah. So it was a couple months there where I think we were absolutely enamored here on the podcast. And then we started to grow smart to all the antics between the two of them. And we could see the buildup happening to this inevitable match. Jeremy, I'm curious where you stood on Bryson versus Brooks this year.
You know, guys, I was actually a hook, line, and sinker up until the Ryder Cup. And I thought that what Strix did to be able to get them to come together at the Ryder Cup and get them to all be on the same page was remarkable. And that hug for me, even if it's fake, even if these guys never sit down and have a lunch with each other ever again, which hopefully for US team golf fans will not happen, because they should be on many teams with each other going forward. It took a lot of this, a lot of the steam out of the match in my mind. And this is the insane thing, and this is what Mike was getting at. Brooks got up for that match.
Big time.
I mean, the audio says it all.
It was his major. He called it his major.
Yeah, he called it his major. It's just, it's remarkable to me how when he cares, when he gives it his all, and no offense to the wonderful folks at the Barbasol, but for him, there is a difference in how he mentally approaches the Barbasol and how he approaches majors. It's a remarkable, remarkable trait. And you look at Steph Curry, one of the reasons why he's been able to set this all-time three-point record is that he has treated games against the Pistons the exact same way he has against LeBron. And that, I think, is a remarkable trait. And that's what stands out to me about Brooks and Brooks v. Bryson. I think for Bryson, he's got to get back to the drawing board golf-wise. His game did not look sharp in the desert, and I think what we had talked about so much coming out of last fall and winning the U.S. Open, and he comes around and he just gets everybody going at Bay Hill. He didn't really do anything the rest of the year and the rest of the season or calendar year. And I think there's a short game issue there. There's a 125 and in issue there that he's got to figure out. And Phil brought it up on the match himself. Same length shafts and bunker shots are not going to be Bryson's friend, and that exposed itself in the match.
Interesting. Well put. Good. I love that perspective. Jeremy, I'll let you bat second. There was a bevy of headlines going on around the world of golf in 2021. What was one of your tops that struck you this year?
There's a lot of places we can go with this, and I don't even know if we'll get to Nelly Korda and Jin Young Ko.
I think we can. Yeah, I think we'll save some time for the ladies as well. Yeah,
yeah, that's the best rivalry in golf in my mind right now. So that just, I think, shows you where we are as a game. I'll go this way. We saw a star born this year. We saw a guy who had been a star come into his own, and that's Jon Rahm. To have happened what happened at Memorial, to handle it with such grace and such class and such dignity, and go out there and win the U.S. Open, making two left-to-right putts on 17 and 18 on the 71st and 72nd holes at Torrey, was remarkable. And the way he golfed his ball all day was remarkable that day. And then to have his shot at the Olympics taken away, is gutting, and yet he did it classy again. He's such a classy guy. And I think a lot of people know Rory McIlroy is this really well-spoken, nice guy, liked by everybody. I think you can now put Jon Rahm right back, right up there with him as classiest interviews in the game.
Yeah, I love Jon Rahm versus COVID. That was absolutely a huge rivalry in 2021. That headline and the look on his face when he was about to win Memorial and romp that field and it got taken away because of his positive test was quite a headline that resonated past golf and past sports and just into world news. He avenged it amazingly, like you said, at Torrey Pines. And then, yeah, the word classy with Jon Rahm, I wouldn't have normally put that word with him. He always came across as a very fiery guy that sometimes back in the day seemed more out of immaturity, but a lot of that has really shined through, and we've seen the true Rahm in recent form. And to be able to avenge the positive COVID test the way he did at Torrey was definitely a big time FU headline for the world of golf in 2021.
And I think too is that he became a dad this year too. And we just mentioned may be the headline of his year. It may be becoming a dad. And I just think, and I don't know about you, Mike, if you had the same reaction. I know Alex did because he and I talked about it. I'm one of those degenerates that watches until the end of telecasts that are already over for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm sitting there on that Saturday watching Rahm put out, and for anybody out there who's a broadcast junkie and a TV junkie, go Google how Jim Nance handled that, because that was so classy. And somebody in the truck calling him off of that sign off and saying, hold on a second, he's just been told something that's got him on his knees. That is the moment. Him on his knees and the way CBS handled that is what I will remember from that part of the Rahm story more than anything else.
Love that. Yeah, good little broadcast angle there. Appreciate that, Jeremy.
Yeah, it certainly was a heartbreaking moment to see on TV. And I think John Rahm's ability to overcome COVID and then win was so incredible to see. And what I said on the podcast back then when it happened again, though, was like, how does he get it twice? How did he get it twice, though?
It's unbelievable. Bad luck, man. Just real bad luck. But hey, fortunately, he got it back.
You know, how does Tiger survive all these accidents and still have his hand?
I know.
What a world, huh? Yeah, that's crazy. And one I want to bring up, because you did mention it briefly, is let's talk about the ladies now. We affectionately dubbed the LPGA Tour the Corda Tour on the podcast in 2021 because both sisters were absolutely firing on all cylinders. Jessica had kind of amazing renaissance in her career, and younger sister Nelly ascends all the way to world number one. Multiple wins, both sisters. Jessica got married, the whole nine yards. Talk to me, Jeremy, about your thoughts on those sisters and kind of how they've affected the landscape of American golf and the significance of that rivalry with Jin Young Ko, like you mentioned a little while ago, for the lady golf fans out there.
I think, and I don't know about you guys, but I think it's the fact that she's the gold medalist that cuts through. And that's not to make any of her other victories, you know, it's not to diminish any of them. Because, you know, winning her first major at the women's LPGA is a really significant thing to have happen. But when you win gold medal as number one in the world, when everybody looks at you as the favorite, and we talked about this 2 years ago with Jennifer Kupcho and the pressure Jennifer Kupcho was under at the Augusta National Women's Amateurs, the number one ranked amateur in the world. And for Nelly to go in there, get the job done, in Tokyo with all the pressure that was under her, was just absolutely remarkable. The poise, I can't say enough about what I saw from Nelly Korda, and it's a game that's going to last. She may not be the longest, but she can get it out there. She's gotten more and more consistent, and you look at the types of events that she's won. It's different types of golf courses too. It's not just one type. It's a game that travels, and you know, it's a cliche, and you and I talk about it all the time, Alex. Ceilings. I have no idea where her ceiling is.
Nice. That's the ultimate compliment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Love that.
The question I have, and Jeremy, maybe you can help with this too, and we've been asking for this and begging for this. We asked for it at the Olympics. We've asked for it at some sort of Ryder Cup type event too, is when are we going to get a mixed field team event?
We are obsessed with this idea. Yes.
I don't understand why we're not doing this right now, especially with this explosion in popularity in the LPGA. This is the time to do this for everyone. This is the time.
I would like to publicly disclose to all the listeners out there that I do not have any inside knowledge on this topic.
I hope you did, yeah.
I do not. This is an area that I do not. What I will say is that I feel like right now the PGA Tour got so laser focused on the breakaway tours that a lot of other stuff kind of fell to the wayside. And meanwhile, the LPGA had their transition in their leadership. So I think you had two ships that are riding in the same direction. I mean, look, and you brought it up, Alex, look at table five at Jess Korda's wedding. That's the first Patrick Cantlay sighting this fall,
That was a power table. For anyone who didn't know, the Fowlers were there, the Cantlays. Yeah, a lot of heavy hitters at that table.
FedEx Cup points than some FedEx Cup point events. and Race to CME Globe event. I mean, a ton of Race to CME Globe participants as well. I think, hopefully, in this offseason, once everything dies down involving breakaway tours and the LPGA leadership structure getting ironed out, they can get down and try to figure this out. Because we all want it. I don't know if it'll be super, super popular, but it definitely will catch some eyeballs. And I'm not diminishing the popularity because I think ill of it. I just don't know. We haven't seen this since the old JCPenney event. It's been a long time. I have no idea what the public reception is, the broader public, beyond the, 250, 300K baked in, baked in golf fans you get every week. But it's definitely something that's worth further further exploration. And I think that's also something that could come up if any of these breakaway tours actually sign a player. I actually think this is where the LPGA Tour can have some influence, but that's a completely different discussion.
Interesting. I was wondering if Greg Norman would make it to the year in review. He did slide in at the last second there. Mike, let's get back to the top of the order. Let's spend a couple minutes each.
And trust me, I don't want to include him. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say we'll touch on him maybe a little bit later, but let's spend a couple minutes each on one more headline from this year in golf. Mike, I know you got one that you've been itching to get to regarding a friend of ours that we love to follow on Twitter. I think he plays golf as well, too.
I mean, let me start with saying that a couple years ago when Tiger won at Augusta again, I mean, that was that moment. And the way it was televised and what we saw on TV was just one of the all-time best moments of golf to see on TV. I think we can all agree with that.
Yes.
But seeing Phil win the PGA and coming out of COVID, COVID was over at the PGA, by the way.
Kiawah Island killed COVID, correct. Yeah.
The crowd surrounding him and how we thought we might never see anyone again in those crowds. I mean, his performance and what he was able to accomplish and seeing that on TV, or in my case, because I was driving home from work, listening to it even on the radio, which was also a pretty incredible experience just to listen to it, was just beyond amazing to me. And if I were to try to rank and say which moment was bigger between Phil winning the PGA and Tiger coming back and winning at Augusta, they're awfully close.
The age is just so impressive what he did in turning the clock back at 50 plus. And we were wondering, all right, the coffee, the new workout regime, the new way of life, the new lease on life, was this all going to lead to something bigger? He was talking a big talk, but he officially walked it and backed it up with that performance, hitting bombs past Kepka on the weekend, smiling his way around Kiawah and just breezing, it seemed like, to the PGA. It was truly a transformational week for Phil. Didn't really think I'd ever see him turn the clock back like that. Jeremy, was that your most impressive win of 2021, or do you have any others that stood out to you as well?
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's, in terms of impressive, I think that's in a league of its own. I have a hard time putting into words, because I'm not that age, thankfully, what winning at 51 or 50, whatever it was at the time, is like. And for someone to be so precise on such a hard layout, for somebody who's known for his wildness, is just utterly wild. To me, if you're talking about this category, the guy that I put there has to be Jordan Spieth. Because I think a lot of us thought that he was in some kind of dungeon of mental whatever.
Yes, deep burn.
And he would pop out of it. And you could see him struggling at the Valero Texas Open. You could see that the game wasn't 100% there. But Jordan doing Jordan things is a darn good, powerful Jordan. And I go back to the way he finished on Saturday that weekend with the hole out on 17, I believe that was 16. I'm not an expert with that facility. But just the way he grinded through that weekend without having his A game and yet knowing that he could get the win, and knowing his game was at a place where he could pull out a victory instead of coming up short yet again, to me, that's the best bounce back of 2021, non-Tiger related. That's a whole separate conversation.
Love that. Honorable mention win for me. We obviously have to reiterate that Ryder Cup team with a stunningly impressive blowout win, courtesy of Captain Strick and that whole team. From the Bryson drive on the green to the unbelievably hold putts from Team US, just really gritty the whole week. I had to shout out that win. Definitely a highlight and something we hadn't seen in a long time. So that was great to see from my perspective.
Not only had we not seen it, Alex, but we bet against Team USA.
Yeah, that's what we had to do. I was about to say, we had to root against our own country for that happen, but it was great to see the U.S. roll.
Worth it.
You had to root against your own country.
I had to basically place a bet on Europe to win. I was so confident that Europe was going to roll the Americans in the 2021 Ryder Cup. That's basically what had to happen for the U.S.
We are turncoats. We will gladly say that we are turncoats in order to let the U.S. win a Ryder Cup.
Some people have to make different sacrifices, Jeremy. That happened to be ours this summer. So, congrats to Team USA. I'm glad they got
this. This is why you're truly just... You know, and sports betting has some mixed thoughts because I'm jealous of people like you that can divorce that and then your love of team, player, country, whatever it is.
I can't do that for Patriots or Celtics game. It's funny you mentioned that. So I won't bet against those teams. But for some reason in this moment, I was just so confident that the U.S. team was not going to show up. Why did anyone think there was going to be the chemistry for them to show up the way they did? And they proved me wrong from start to finish. So that was an awesome headline for me to see. Jeremy, I'll throw it to you for one more headline, and then we'll get to our honorable mentions.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to one of the moments of the year that a lot of people forgot about, but then it linked to three other moments. Eric Lytle, I just went frantically looking for his name. I can't find it. I believe his last name is Lytle. He is the CBS 18th Hour cameraman.
Okay.
Who got probably the shot of the year, which was Hideki Matsuyama's caddy bowing in that traditional form of saying thank you after he holds out on 18 to win the Masters.
That was very classy. I love that. Yeah.
And you saw it at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. You saw it at the Asian Pacific Amateur Champion. And kudos to Seller Shai, who is producing the Augusta National Women's Amateur and was able to, who produced the Asian Pacific Amateur Championship and was able to get the video up. But there's this side-by-side beautiful view that I highly recommend everybody look at on Twitter by Nikita Nakajima. The reverence that they have and that moment that, as Jim Nantz said in an interview afterwards, was not caught by a cameraman. There is one picture of that. There is one source, and that is the camera from Eric Lytle, who just because of the way he was thinking said, I think I should keep my camera focused on the 18th green until I see everybody at Matsuyama's party leave. And he catches what may be the best visual all year.
Love that. Mike, I know you're into the camera work production. How about that nod for the production team right there from CBS?
You know, I think we all, a lot of times the casual fans and even the hardcore golf fans, we all forget just how talented these crews are out there, from the cameramen to the ones in the booth, and how good they are at their game and how they have the right judgment calls to do things like that.
Very
totally
cool.
And I would also like
to the broadcast.
Go ahead, Alex.
Now let's get to honorable mentions right now. A couple more headlines for each of us, just 60 seconds each. I'll let Mike lead the way. Maybe a couple more headlines, stories, golfers that drew your attention this year. Mike, I'll let you bat lead off here.
Well, you know, I know that Xander and Nelly certainly took gold at the Olympics, but to me, the real story was silver medalist Slovakian Rory Sabatini.
Ah, yes, of course. Yes. We were enamored with this story.
I mean, yes, Phil came back and won a major, but Rory Sabatini changed countries and won the silver medal at the Olympics.
Nice, nice. Good stuff. What else you got?
I'll also throw one more out because we always love talking about him on this podcast. Kevin Na, walking him in. He bookended his year winning in Hawaii, winning at the QBE shootout. I might have more to say about him after the break.
Oh, nice tease. Well done there. Okay, I'll throw a couple more in there. The first one being Bryson. We talked about him earlier, but I'm going to shout out our friends of the podcast, the Long Drivers, who had a big, big jump from Bryson's participation out in the desert. That experience with our friends Josh Koch, Wes Patterson, and everyone else out there was really unique. It was cool to see Bryson take that time and bring his presence to a long drive event, and that was neat to see for the sport, which I'm going to see a lot more of next year. And the other honorable mention, I got to give a shout out to my true goat in women's golf, Annika Sorenstam, casually making the cut at an LPGA event at age 50 after a 13-year layoff. That takes some serious guts, hopping back out there and playing the full week on the LPGA Tour. So shout out to Annika. She can still get it done. Those are my honorable mentions.
And goes and wins the U.S. Senior Women's Open several months later.
I mean, with ease. True, she boat raced that one, I think.
Yeah, she did.
We haven't mentioned Patrick Cantlay's name.
There's a lot of top golfers in the world. We haven't even got to. That's how busy the year's been.
Colin Morikawa won a major. We haven't mentioned him.
That's true, he did.
Dustin Johnson got a win in Saudi Arabia. Hasn't been heard from.
Oh, yes, Saudi Arabia, yes.
And number four, I'll just say this. The run of playoffs that the PGA Tour had in the middle of the summer.
That was so weird. Thank you for reminding us about that. God.
And the ridiculous lengths that they went to. There are some members of the CBS team, including Amanda Baliotis, Frank Nabilo, and Colt Knost, who were traveling to all those events. They're on a string, if you include the Asian Pacific Amateur Championship, of like five straight playoffs, four of which went like five holes or like, you know, three holes or more. Some insane streak that some members of the CBS golf team are on. That run of playoffs, that run of just bizarre golf. Who can remember Harrison Kramer from Hartford and – you know, how some of those putts didn't go in for Kramer, how some of them finally did for Harris. I mean, you go eight holes, 15 pars, one birdie. You can't make that up. That was the most
that delayed podcast taping, I believe, Mike, if you remember. Yeah, that went late into the night. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, that was the most entertaining 15 par, one birdie playoff you will ever see.
Very cool. Awesome. That's a wrap on some cool headlines from 2021. But there is more to get to. We didn't talk about a big cat. We'll get to him in a moment. Another question regarding 2022 and our bold predictions. But first, Mike, let's throw it your way for a quick word from our pals at Desert Fox Golf.
That's right. The holiday season may be over at this point, but you got a little spending money in your pocket because someone must have given you, I don't know, $20
That's
or
right.
something.
You know, you always get the aunt or the grandpa, the cousin, who handed you a bill, right? There's got to be someone that did that.
And if you were so unlucky that no one got you a Desert Fox phone caddy, then now's the time to go get one for yourself because this thing is great. It straps right onto the side of your golf cart. It holds your phone right there so you can use it all day long. Check TikTok, check Twitter, Instagram, check the scores on the LPGA Tour, listen to music, do everything you need to do, and that phone is safely locked into the side of your cart. And we can save you 10%, so you can have a little extra money in your pocket when you use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. You can get a phone caddy in any number of colors, plus one from their patriotic line, and show your support. So head on over to their website. It's desertfoxgolf.com, and you can get your phone caddy for 10% off with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertfoxgolf.com. And we're back again. Joining us for this entire podcast, Jeremy Schilling from the Teeing It Up podcast and PGA Magazine. We're back now. We've recapped everything in 2021. Before we really talk about 2022, let's talk about someone we didn't talk about, and that's Tiger Woods.
Yes.
In case we forgot, he almost had his leg cut off, and then he played 9 months later.
Yeah, what a whirlwind year for Tiger. Obviously, we briefly saw him in January before he had the crazy, crazy accident. We don't need to get into all the details of that. Everyone knows what happened there. The timeline that we were all watching was then his recovery. We're humans, we're golf fans, and we've loved Tiger our entire life. We figured there would be some sort of recovery, and we might see him swing a club, but we weren't exactly sure how long out that was going to be. And then the fall hit, and he started walking, and then he started putting, chipping, and hitting, and lo and behold, he finishes the year playing with his son in the father-son. So Jeremy, with that being the stage, what do you think, as our resident Tiger reporter, what do you think we're going to see out of Tiger Woods in, say, maybe the next 3 to 6 months to start off 2022?
You know what's interesting, Mike, when you ask that, I don't give a shit about his golf. I just want him to be healthy. I want him to play well with Charlie at home. To me, all of this is a bonus. I didn't think we would see Tiger competitively in any place, whether it's a hit and giggle or whether it's a backyard putting contest in 2021. This comeback and talking to some people, not around Tiger, but just talking to some people around the game, it took a lot of people by surprise. And as David Faraday says, the only mistake I've ever made about Tiger is ever doubting him. So he has stopped making predictions because he just thinks that Tiger does insane things. So I don't know. I just want to get this out there. I don't care how he plays this week, next week, tomorrow, next week, on New Year's Eve in the annual medalist New Year's Eve tournament that I just made up right here on the spot. Like, I don't care.
Sounds legit. It's okay.
Yes. I just want Tiger to be healthy, happy, and able to do whatever he wants. Now,
you know, yeah. And
because
you
are nice people and because you are asking me to give a golf prediction, I will say what I've been saying to friends and other people in my life, which is the line that he has to get to is a very thick line. And it's a very hard line. And a lot of people talk about the uncertainty of his injury. There's uncertainty with the injury and recovery. There is a lot of certainty in the following. You will not win the Masters driving a cart. They're not going to let you. Just plain and simple. And I've been there. I'm not sure offhand if either of you guys have been. It's the hardest walk in golf. My calves were on fire that day. And that is a big leap to climb. That is a big leap to climb, to be able to have the walking stamina to be able to go through that process and do that one day and then 2 days and then do it for 72 holes. All the while, and I think most of us out there have had some kind of injury or some kind of nagging issue that gets worse as the day goes on, he has to build up all that leg strength to be able to withstand the force of the swing, warming up, cooling down, warming up, cooling down, walking 72 holes. Look, he said it himself. He would love to be at St. Andrews. I think he'll be there for the Champions celebration event, which I believe is four holes, if I'm not mistaken, if they hold it in 22. He'll be there for the Champions dinner. I don't know, and I'm still pessimistic, that we see actual competitive, like, shot link is tracking him, Tiger, until 2023.
I feel like even that is aggressive. If I'm like, I think the fact that he came back to play this year, you know, driving a cart, never mind that, is just incredible, because like he said, he almost had his leg cut off. This was a career ending injury. You do not come back from this kind of injury. If there's anyone who can do it, it's Tiger. But I think you pointed out there, Jeremy, too, the Augusta is such a difficult course to walk, and the having to come through all the preparation you need in order to play any course, play 2-3 days before you even start an actual round, and then play anywhere from 2 to 4 days. It's just so incredibly difficult that I don't know if we're ever going to see him play competitive golf again. Really, I still don't think we will.
It's amazing how conservative the both of you are being with this take too on the timeline. Like it's continued to shock me, just like Tiger has continued to shock us with the timeline on his recovery. So I'm just going to continue to never doubt him. And I am going on record and saying we're seeing some sort of competitive golf from him in the next 3 to 6 months. My best guess is it's probably sometime after Augusta and maybe before the US Open, so that puts us in the May, June timeframe. But Lord willing, we've seen crazier things with him on the recovery road. Why the hell would he not try and give it a go at Augusta or a Florida venue if he can do it in 3 months? I know it's actually insane to say, but we've already seen the insane recovery timeline in 2021. So that's going to be a huge thing to watch. I guess let's get a quick prediction on his 2022. Let's do an over-under, 1.5 tournaments played in 2022. Over or under, Mike?
Under.
Yes, I'm hammering the over. And Jeremy, it sounds like you're taking the under. You're
does not sure the par 3 contest at Augusta count?
I'll give you a half on that one. So, okay, that could be a push for Jeremy.
Does
depending
the
on if he makes it.
Count?
By the end of the year. There it is. There's your 1.5. So
yes, St. Andrews, par 3 contest at Augusta, and then father-son.
Wow, you guys are doubting Tiger?
I'm telling you. The amount of leg stamina and strength that he's going to have to build up, I think, is a lot more than people think. And I think is going to be something that is going to keep him forcing himself to try to figure out a way to simulate game pressure. That's the other thing. We don't know how he can handle thick rough. We don't know how he can handle game speed. We know that his swing in general is faster under game speed than it is regular speed. I'm sorry. Charlie's awesome, but trying to win $5 off of your son is not a major.
Yeah,
and we have to see if his body can handle that pressure.
He's killing it on flat courses in Florida right now. There is a lot of terrain to deal with in golf, so that the endurance definitely will be a question. I'll say, getting that leg strength back, if he does what he did to his legs in 2022, like he did to his arms in 2021, he could be just fine pretty soon, because that man was working on his arms big time. So that's
the perfect way to sum this segment up.
That's Tiger in a nutshell right there. Let's throw out my number one question regarding world number one in 2022. It revolved mostly between Rom and DJ. Just quick question. You can say this in 10 words or less. I'll start and I'll throw it to Mike and Jeremy first. Who's going to spend the most time at world number one, being the world number one ranked golfer in 2022 on the PGA Tour? Could be Rom, DJ, Morikawa, maybe another name. I'll lead it off with you, Mike. What's your answer to that?
My answer to who will be number one the longest in 2022 is Nelly Korda.
Oh, yes. All right. Well played. So the LPGA is covered. Jeremy, do you want to cover a different tour, or do you want to stick with the original question?
Do you want me to go to the Champions Tour? The PGA Tour Champions?
You are a Schwab Cup fanatic, yeah.
If Phil makes enough starts, he may be able to try to unseat Bernhard Langer, but it's going to be a stretch. I am going to take a cop-out answer here and say it's a tie. 26 weeks for Colin Morikawa, 26 weeks for Patrick Cantlay.
Oh, love that. Shout out Patrick Cantlay, too. I'm going to go with Morikawa. I think this is his year to ascend. I think he's going to spend a majority of the weeks. It'll flop between 3 or 4 golfers. Maybe even Cantlay's part of that mix. All right, let's get to some bold predictions before we wrap up here on this year recap, year preview podcast to close out the year. I will lead off boldly. I'm throwing this out there. This is a guy who has tormented himself in the headlines, quite literally and physically, ripping the shirt off of his chest. I'm dying to see this happen, so I'm just trying to throw it into fruition. I think this is the year, and I'm not entirely sure where it's going to happen. Maybe the PGA at Southern Hills, maybe even the U.S. Open where I attend. That'd be great. But I'm boldly going to go ahead and say that Rory McIlroy is going to win a major in 2022. I think this is the year he exercises the demons. He's toying back and forth with what his personality is in life and in golf. I think he finally puts it all together for one week when it matters, and he gets a major in 2022. I'll let Jeremy go ahead next. What's your bold prediction for 2022 in golf?
Jason Kokrak is the only player that goes to a breakaway tour and subsequently gets banned.
He's the only one.
Interesting.
Nothing against Jason Kokrak. Just if you look at him being sponsored by Golf Saudi, him and Dustin Johnson have long been pegged as the two guys most likely to go. So I think DJ stays, and I think Kokrak goes. Will Zalatoris getting a win is like the most not hot take, so I'm going to go with this hot take. Rob McIntyre either wins a major or comes just short.
Oh, yes, Lefty Bob. I saw him at the match play. What a fiery fellow he is. That could be an interesting play.
Lefty, as you said, has a lot of emotion, and I think – you can try to analyze a bunch of different ways the mistakes that the European Ryder Cup squad made, but he was not on it, and I think he's going to use that as inspiration.
I love that. Mike, real quick before your bold prediction, are you watching a Greg Norman run tournament with Jason Kokrak and a bunch of other golfers you've never heard of before? Does that entice you, or are you going to need a little bit more to be entertained there?
No, I am not watching that.
I love that headline, though. That's a great hot take headline, Jeremy. I'm definitely keeping that one for the vault. When it comes through, we'll be sending this out to the masses. Love it. All right, Mike, what's your bold prediction?
Bold prediction involves Jason Kokrak's playing partner at the QBE shootout just earlier in December. And that, of course, would be Kevin Na, one of my favorite golfers on tour. We say this every time he pops back in the spotlight. He's one of my favorite golfers on tour. And I'm going to be really bold here and say that after a T13 in 2020 and a T12 in 2021, Kevin Na is going to win the Masters.
Oh, man, and he's picking the major as well, too.
I am.
Well, we love betting him around that lovely 100 or 150-to-1 spot in these majors. So maybe we can wish that into fruition. Very cool. I mean, so Jeremy, looking ahead, we got, obviously the Masters April, PGA Southern Hills. I'm trying to get myself to the U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts, near where I grew up. And then we've got the Open Championship at St. Andrews. What's on your golf calendar outside the majors, Jeremy? You head to any tournaments? What are you looking forward to cover? What majors of those intrigue you the most?
We'll see. Might have something in June that I'll be covering, not the U.S. Open.
Okay.
I can't go to Red Sox country. I'm sorry.
Awesome. It's a pretty great calendar indeed coming up this next year.
I'll throw this one at you. Yeah. In terms of an event that I'm looking forward to. And I hate to go TV, but I'm going to go TV here. Remember, folks, the Farmers Insurance Open is a Saturday night Eastern time finish. Because of the AFC and NFC championships, a Saturday night in San Diego. And I believe the winner, if he plays in that event, or let me put it this way, Tommy Fleetwood will win his first appearance on the PGA Tour in 2022, wherever that winds up being. You look at best players not to have a PGA Tour win. How is he still on this list? Yes, he doesn't play a full schedule, but his time's coming, and I think he's going to be a big – I think he's going to get that big win.
Love it. Good stuff indeed. Looking forward to all those predictions, hopefully coming close or maybe to fruition. Who knows? It's going to be a great year ahead. That's pretty much a wrap here as everyone's listening to this. They're ringing in the new year. I guess let's end with a real softball question for everyone right here. Did you or are you going to be staying up to midnight on New Year's Eve, Mike? Can you make it these days? I still can, but it takes a lot of willpower.
You know, I haven't done it for years. I have no reason to stay up and watch whoever the hell it is. Those name I'm completely forgetting and who I don't care about anyway.
You don't want to watch Dua Lipa performer hit single for the 14th time on television?
No. Is Elton John going to be there too? Because maybe that'll be worth it. But I don't particularly like that collab that they're doing right now. So, I will be fast asleep and smiling in my bed.
Oh, that's a banger. Don't you dare disgrace that song. Jeremy, you making it up to midnight on New Year's?
I'm going to do something that's going to get you guys. So you're going to love this ending. Oh, okay. I am going to make it up to the end for New Year's Eve. I will proudly be watching Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest, which I think is who Mike was getting at.
Yes. Ryan Seacrest. Thank you.
Having my mom's lasagna. It is the one day a year my mom makes lasagna. Any good lasagna makers out there know it takes a while, so my dinner's going to be a little delayed. That's the fuel to get me over the half hour to get us to midnight, when I will proceed to send about 8,000 Happy New Year text messages.
Nice. I think you might have the best New Year. I'm not going to lie. Dang. I'm feeling a little inferior, but that sounds like a great celebration. And you hashtag always end with food perfectly to put a wrap on this episode and our recap episode. Everyone have a happy New Year out there. Jeremy, thank you for teeing it up with us on The Course of Life. Everyone tune into his podcast, teeing it up as well. Mike, you have a good New Year and happy New Year out there to all our listeners as well. Have a good one.